Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
For anyone keeping score at home, we are making Mike Jones jokes and talking about recorders that you played in elementary school today. As if it didn't feel enough like the early 2000s, let me bring you all the way back. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's where we go, Jhené, because obviously everyone can catch us on ESPN Plus, streaming each and every day here, as well as on the radio, as well as where we get our podcast. And we like to think we're in a lot of places on here, but our next guests may be in more places around this company than anybody. And there's a new spot that you can check him out as Stephen A. Smith joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. You obviously know him from First Take, but now you can catch him on ESPN Plus for Stephen A.'s World Right Now, a show that's going to take you inside the life of Stephen A., all of his interests, and so, so much more. Guests like Snoop Dogg, Stephen Harvey, Jamie Foxx, and so many. Going to be very exciting. Can't wait to check it out. Stephen A., we appreciate the time. How you doing today, boss?
What's going on, y'all? Jhené, how are you? How's everything?
Everything's really well, and I really enjoyed your first episode. Got to see Uncle Snoop, got to see Uncle Steve, but more importantly, I got to see baby Stephen A. How fun was it, going through that first process? Also, congratulations on the productions as well. I saw the final ed credit as well. How fun is it, and what can people expect with their Stephen A's world?
Well, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, no question about it. You usually see me debating and stuff like that, butting heads, whether it's with Max or a bunch of football and basketball contributors to the show and things of that nature. But this is my show. I'm hosting it, and it's a half hour long, 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays. It's not on Wednesdays, because most Wednesdays I'll be doing my Sports Center with Stephen A. show, my NBA show on Wednesdays, and that's why it's only 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week. And essentially, anytime you've got those four letters preceding anything, like ESPN, you're going to be talking sports, as you all know. But in the same breath, I get an opportunity to bring a little levity to the situation, have some fun, just be fun and, you know, do things like the baby Stephen A, the love doctor segments that I stole from Martin Lawrence from his show years ago, Martin, and the other different things like that, and just having a good time and having guests and doing all of those things. And it's an incredible opportunity for me because obviously not only am I the host, but I'm the executive producer of the show, and my production company is co-producing it in concert with ESPN. So it's something that I waited for a very, very long time, something I wanted to do in terms of getting my feet wet in the production world, and that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm really excited about it.
So pretty much what Stephen A. is telling us is he's where the money resides. I love it. Stephen A. joining us here on Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Stephen A., my favorite part probably was the end when you do your mic drop and you just sort of drop the mic on everything. And I want to sort of get a quick take as you drop the mic on this situation happening with the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving. I'm sure you're seeing the video circulating around with Kyrie Irving likely at a family function or party, you know, with friends and family. What does this, you know, sort of make overall for the Brooklyn Nets prospects for success this season, seeing that happening as well?
Well, I think it jeopardizes everything, and I think it's incredibly disappointing. We all know Kyrie to be an all-world talent. I'm here to tell you he's not a bad person. He's not a bad person by any stretch of the imagination, but in some cases what you find is you find individuals that are, you know, are just, they've got a bloated view of themselves. They look at themselves as, you know, as being a bit, you know, over other folks or bigger than other people. I mean, he called the media peons and, you know, has implied that folks are artificial and not real. And, you know, like he thinks that he has such an, you know, a cerebral and intellectual understanding of things that so many other people are lacking. And so you see that kind of approach from time to time. And it's very disconcerting because at the end of the day, we don't care. It has nothing to do with you playing basketball. In the end, there was, you know, 60 plus games last year. You played 20. This year, you've already missed four. You've been out. You're anticipated to be or expected to be out for the next week. And we all know that you're there because Kevin Durant wanted you there. If it were not for Kevin Durant, the Brooklyn Nets were not going to want to bring Kyrie into the culture of that situation, regardless of how much of a mercurial talent that he is. And so knowing all of this, knowing that you're in the media capital of the world, knowing that you're under a microscope and what have you, knowing what, you know, that all eyes are going to point to Kevin Durant, Steve Nash, Sean Marks, and the rest of the team, you still find yourself in this situation. I think the word that comes to mind is selfish, because in the end, you're thinking about yourself. If you're hurt and you can't play, that's fine. But what's personal reasons? What is that exactly? Was there a death in the family? What's going on? because the Brooklyn Nets don't seem to know. People seem to be trying to figure out what the hell is going on with you. Meanwhile, you're getting paid $33+ million a year to do a job you're simply not doing. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's incredibly disappointing. It sets the wrong example. There is no way around that. I'm sure he'll have a logical explanation, and I'm sure there will people who will come to his defense, a defense that he does not deserve, by the way. But it is what it is, and, you know, he has to live with the consequences.
Chinnae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinnae Igwumike talking to Stephen A. Smith. You can catch Stephen A.'s World exclusively on ESPN+. Stephen A.'s with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Stephen A., you mentioned the example that it sets right now, and the NBA trying to make an example with their players with the stricter policies related to COVID-19 that they're rolling out right now as this season sees disruptions starting to pop up. Stephen A., when you look at the trajectory the NBA is on right now, do you think they can get through the entirety of this season without having to press pause, without having to stop and reassess the way that they're approaching COVID-19 outside of the bubble?
I certainly hope so, and I actually think so, but I don't think they're going to be able to do it standing still. I think they're going to have to intensify the level of pressure that they apply to these players. I think that they're going to have to sit up there and bring a heavy hand down on dudes that violate protocol and what have you, and I think that those are the kind of things that you're going to have to hit them in the pocketbook. You're going to have to hit them in their wallet. That's what you're going to have to do. You can't completely blame the players because – we all can end up catching COVID in unforeseen circumstances. We could, sit in certain cars, be in an elevator with people. People can breathe or sneeze in our direction. There are a multitude of ways that you can end up catching the coronavirus, and we understand that. But if it's learned that irresponsible and selfish behavior has contributed to it, then we got a problem. There is no human being in this country, if not on this earth, that doesn't know that if you're surrounded in a gathering of other people that you haven't been around, that you're not elevating your chances of catching the virus. Knowing that you then got to go back to a team and be around them and play with them, but you may have exposed yourself, is unconscionable. We've seen somebody like Danwell House with the Houston Rockets ultimately get sent home and called out because he tried to do that in the bubble when they were there in Orlando. Over the summer and into September, before the season ended in October. We can't have stuff like that. You got to think about people other than yourself. And on many occasions, just with the layman out there, what has been said? You might be healthy. You might be a strong, young, vibrant, healthy individual, but you're still compelled to do the right things because of the effect that you can have on somebody who's not as healthy, or dare we say older and a bit more exposed in terms of, or vulnerable rather, to the catastrophic effects that the virus could ultimately have. So you're called upon to be a better human being than you've ever been asked to be before, to think about somebody other than yourself. And when you see NBA players, if they're not doing that and you can prove that, you need to bring the hammer down. Same, plain and simple.
And it's certainly, those are all the central tenets of any team that these guys have been involved in, that everyone has been involved in here, and so it should certainly be something that everyone understands. Stephen A., we appreciate the time and the insight into everything. We're looking forward to Stephen A.'s World on ESPN+.
Yes. Plus.
Best of luck with everything, and hopefully we'll get to talk
to you
soon. Stephen A. Smith again joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Check him out. First Take, Stephen A.'s World on ESPN+. Plus. Chinnae, he mentioned it there. It's going to be very interesting because all those things, and we've heard this for pretty much every team sport, is it's not just about you. I understand everyone can feel pretty invincible with all this stuff if they're young and in shape and all that, but it is really about, all right, we got rules for the team here, and you can either follow those and we can try and win games, or you cannot, and this can all happen.
Yeah, and hearing it from one NBA insider to another, going back to Brian Windhorst, bringing up the idea, like, this is not football where you, like, maybe can sub people in. I mean, I think was it Doc Rivers that sort of made the joke, like, Dwight Howard's going to play point guard for us as they dwindle the numbers and their rookie goes off for 39 points. Yes, Cliff, you can be proud of that. But overall, like, this is a league that, like you said, even though it's going to be hard, I think they'll find a way through. But how hard will you make it for yourself? And I think Kyrie is making it extremely hard for the Brooklyn Nets currently.
Yeah, I think, and that's an issue now that's become an NBA issue. We saw reporting from our own Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA insider, that the NBA, the league, has taken over this and they will now determine when Kyrie Irving can return to the Brooklyn Nets. A lot hanging in the balance there. in the world of the NBA. We're going to get to plenty more of that because they're trying to do what college football and the NFL are just finishing up now. So coming up next, let's head back to college football. We crowned a national champion last night, and we saw a star continue to shine bright. Did DeVonta Smith's performance jump him up even higher than we could have previously thought in the draft? We'll get to in one half what one man can do for you. We'll get to that next. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
A player is accomplished so much in the world of college football, accomplished so much on the biggest stages, and yet it still feels like there are going to be questions surrounding what he can do at the next level. Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. And I am baffled, Chinay, at a lot of the discussion that I think is going to go on because we're sitting here in our studio. We're talking amongst ourselves on here. And DeVonta Smith, who's fresh off being the offensive player of the game in the college football playoff national championship, this guy had 212 yards and three touchdowns in a half. He didn't play in the second half, and yet he went out there and dominated that game to that level, Chinay. But because he's a slighter build, because he might maybe doesn't look like some of the physical freak show wideouts that Alabama's had in the past, people might still have some questions. So I'm curious for you. You heard us sitting around here yelling about it in the break. How surprised are you that a guy this good is already having to answer questions?
I'm not surprised at all because that's all part of the draft evaluation process. Your girl knows this too well because I feared it even though I shouldn't have. And I want to just also apologize to anyone watching on ESPN Plus because like I turn my volume down and then I try to like clear my throat and cough and I realize, oh, I'm still wearing a lav mic. So shout out to y'all who listen and can hear that. But you know, you're right, Junior. When it comes to DeVonta Smith, I already talked about it in the open of the show, but I think I want to bring it back for hour three of our podcast. I woke up to a 2 a.m. text from my mother saying, This man stole the show. DeVonta Smith stole the show. Y'all, my mom does not talk about sports. She's like, I already watched too much of it. I watch you guys when you guys play. You talk about it all day on air. Like, Chinay, it's too much. I woke up and she said she stole the show. And he stole the show. And I love that. But you're right, Junior, because normally greatness when it comes to Alabama, when it comes to Tuscaloosa, it's usually quantified, right, with like size and skill and power and things that you normally get on like the squat rack, that type of stuff. You think of Derrick Henry and that crazy photo that went viral, Julio Jones, all those type of things. But what we just witnessed was finesse in a situation where literally we saw it in just one half. And I just like to highlight this too, because our show loves homework and nuggets. And this one was not from Twitter. This one is actually from actual numbers. DeVonta Smith was so dominant that his season totals of 1,856 yards receiving and 23 receiving touchdowns are better than the past two Heisman Trophy winning wide receivers combined. We're talking about Tim Brown and also Desmond Howard. So what he's been able to do, and also the evolution of the game that Alabama, not only, not just like the college football landscape, but Alabama be able to capitalize on beyond, like, it blew me. And I was like, I'm good. I got one half of him. I'm good. I just sort of wanted to see him with another quarter so he could demolish the records. But I was cool with one half.
I was going to say, if he is registering and getting mom texts on these things, you know you have done something right on the big stage there. But again, I'm curious because I listen here, Keyshawn J. Will and Zubin, you catch around here on the morning show. Keyshawn Johnson, former number one overall pick at wide receiver. And even he is saying the thing that I'd imagine we'll hear more and more about what DeVonta Smith needs going to the second next level.
The wide receiver position in the pros, you depend on so many positive things to happen for you. He's got to go to the right system. He can't get lost with a bum quarterback or bum offensive coordinator because that amazing talent that we saw on display last night will be lost in the wash. He reminds me of Marvin Harrison, to a degree, Hollywood Brown, Antonio Brown. Smaller frames with crazy quicks and speed, but he's got to be in the right system because his size will not allow him to just plug into any system and dominate the pros.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I've never heard one of those names that he mentioned there, never heard it in my life, and will never speak of it again. But I will say this, Janae, what we heard there, this idea that his physical skill set is limiting, I think it's the complete opposite. I think the versatility of what he's done will allow him to go to so many places. Now, what Key touched on is an interesting part of the NFL right now, because for a long time, there have been stats to back up this idea that rookie wideouts can't necessarily come in and contribute at a super high level right away in this spot. But we look around this league this year, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, all these guys that came in, and to Key's point, the right system, and are able to thrive. Like, we're seeing the league finally meet these guys halfway.
Yeah, and what Keyshawn really talked about was the system, and I think this is where things get really interesting, because, you know, before the game, we were even talking about the Heisman bump that can help you, but now he has this first half of the national championship game bump that has a lot of people scared. Cliff, I'm talking to you. He's a Philly fan, and he's wondering what's going to happen at six ever since they sort of did that last game. But I say this because, you know, now the question is, what happens at two? Because that's essentially where the draft really starts for a lot of people with the New York Jets. Because if it is a system, I mean, aren't they devoid of a system? And then we go to three with Miami, and it's going to be interesting because we heard them come out and say, hey, Tua's our guy practically. And so having another weapon for Tua could be interesting. Then you get to the Falcons, the Bengals, and then the Eagles, which all might be situations or schemes or places where he could find success. So based on the reality of what Devontae Smith's talents are, Junior, where do you think he could sort of land?
Yeah, Chinee, that will be the interesting part to me, because in general, I think what we're seeing at the wide receiver position right now could start to border on what's been happening at the running back position. Not that it's been devalued statistically, but that you have so many. I mean, think about the last two wide receiver drafts that we're going to have gone through right now, the depth of talent coming out in this league at that position, where you're saying, all right, I could probably get a really quality guy in the second or third round in this spot and get more capital by trading back, and maybe get protection for my quarterback if I'm one of those teams at the top of the draft, like the Jets in that situation, like Tua and the Dolphins. And so I think that would be a little bit rich for my taste up in that spot. He's going to be first, you know, top half of the first round, probably a top 10 player, because you're right, the buzz that's going to surround him and the way that he's going to go out and show for himself in this process is going to drive that home.
I mean, that has to make what you just said, one guy by the name of Cliff, Philly Stan, very happy, because he was worried at the sixth spot that he wouldn't be available or wouldn't be in the mix. But if you're saying that maybe you should just get protection with a guy like Penei Sewell or something like that, that might be more important. So
I'm
saying
Cliff, it could be open up right there.
Man, Devontae Smith is kind of frail, a little lanky. I don't know if he's even that fast for real.
Cliff is
on a team, I would definitely consider Ja'Marr Chase over him for sure.
Cliff is doing his best impression of anonymous sources right now, because, again, now we've got everyone strapping and prepare for this, because we should all be used to this right now. But if you're not, once we get to the offseason, you're going to hear a lot of anonymous sources saying certain things about certain players to try and see if you can get and manipulate that draft stock right now. So I just want to make it very clear that while Cliff is rooting for the Eagles,
his burner,
Chinee Ngola Jr., official show statement, we want every player to be drafted as high as humanly possible,
yes,
and make a ton of money playing professional football.
I heard he runs like a 4.6, 4.7, 40.
I can't believe this, man.
Cliff's burner is hyperactive.
I can't believe
this.
I've been talking to Cliff, been trying to tell him about Devontae Smith and my questions on him, and now he over here spewing lies to the public. This is a shame.
Junior, confirm right now.
He needs to do better.
Big blow up in this control room.
This,
a minute ago,
wow,
and now Billy's just lying.
People, close,
this is a bad John.
People close to the situation are telling me is exactly what we are hearing right now from Cliff. This is a travesty.
People
a
close
sham.
To this.
This is a travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It's a travesham mockery going on right now in this studio. So we'll have plenty more of this coming up, because everyone is going to do this, and we'll remind you that Devontae Smith was great at the end of the season, and no matter what happens in the next couple months, he's going to be great whenever he shows up to your draft party there. Just make sure it's early, Philadelphia. Now, coming up next, Devontae Smith gets to go get paid. Like we said, we want everyone to get a bleep ton of money when they go to the pros and finally get to collect on all their hard work. Coming up next, we'll get into why college has apparently decided that they want to punt on that idea for a little while longer. We'll get to that next. It's Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Some things change, like the names that we see ball out on big stages that we want to show love to, the players that made it possible in the national championship last night, but other things, they remain the same, like the NCAA continuing to try and push responsibilities down the road. It's Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Chinee, I want to get to that. I want to celebrate what happened last night while also reminding people that while we were all watching that last night, the NCAA tried to kind of hit us with the okey-doke in that spot. But I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up, because we were talking about John Calipari before.
John Calipari, who him and his players facing some backlash for taking a knee before their most recent game right now in light of everything that's been going on in the country, especially in our nation's capital. And I said, it's a lot like what happened with Tom Herman this summer. He stood with his players who didn't want to stand out there on the field and sing the eyes of Texas after games, and that was used as a net negative against Tom Herman. Well, Steve Sarkisian, former Alabama offensive coordinator who was introduced as the Texas head coach, talking to the media today, having his press conference, and when he was asked about the Eyes of Texas controversy, he said, quote, "I know this much. The Eyes of Texas is our school song. We're going to sing that song. We're going to sing that song proudly." But he acknowledges the need for discussion and dialogue with players here. Chiné, this is a man caught in a balancing act right now that plenty of coaches have had before, and he saw how it worked out for the last guy, and he is walking into this one dipping a toe in the shallowest end of the pool right now.
Look, let me tell you this. Your girl, born and raised in Houston, Texas, and one of the few schools that I actually went on official visits to was University of Texas. I loved it there. Like, that's honestly one of the few schools that I probably was like, all right, it's Stanford, Notre Dame, possibly UConn, and UT. And UT had a big place in my heart. That song, I know word for word, but that song is also attributed to generations of trauma. And so if the athletes are saying that this is central, and it wasn't just athletes when it came to football athletes, it was athletes overall collectively saying, hey, this song, we're not about it anymore. I know it's a part of our culture, but can we work towards something that is a good memory, not just for you and me currently, but also my grandfather and great grandparents and so on and so forth. So I understand he wants to come in and try to play nice and all that type of stuff, but you end up being on the wrong side eventually at some point.
And that's the tough part, Chiné, is he's looking at the last guy and saying the wrong side appeared to be opposing the boosters and the people that make all these decisions.
No, because winning games. Winning games.
Oh,
that
listen,
was it.
And Chiné, you have absolutely ding, 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 ding. Like, that's the winning answer in all of this is if the teams are winning, because again, we saw Trevor Lawrence maybe not speak out as critically in these spots, but speak out. But when you are a quarterback with that resume and your team and your fan base know you're going to win them a bleep ton of games, everyone tends to get in line a little quicker than some of these other schools are dealing with right now. So a lot of that we'll get to keep an eye on here as Steve Sarkisian begins that experience coming off of that national championship stage last night. And Chiné, I feel like we'd be remiss. Alabama and the dynasty are going to get talked about a ton in all of this, and deservedly so. What they've accomplished and what Nick Saban's accomplished is insane. But how about Justin Fields last night managing to go out there? I understand this is a team that got down and behind early, but you mentioned it, Chiné. We had that moment early in that game where you saw Justin Fields take a hit, and he's on the ground kind of checking a little bit of everything just to make sure it's all still there as he's trying to battle through this and just collect himself. That was a gutty, impressive effort from a quarterback who's got bright days ahead of him.
Exactly, and I know a lot of people were judging his last few games, and obviously that semifinal was super impressive, but then, yeah, he dealt with adversity and he stayed out there for his team, which should be commended. And also, if this is Justin Fields' last college football game, we all know this, but I feel like it bears repeating, he'll leave with one Heisman Trophy finalist appearance, one Big Ten championship MVP, two Big Ten titles, two college football playoff appearances, and a 20-2 win-loss record. Wow. So, like, overall, when you're thinking about Ohio State and how they put up numbers and what their quarterbacks can potentially be the next level, I feel like he shouldn't get lost in the sauce.
He shouldn't. And Chiné, I think what we talked about earlier with Dan Orlovsky is a reminder. He has a lot of those traits that the next level is starting to really value in quarterbacks. Being able to get your line out of trouble. Being mobile enough to move around, buy time, and make plays. He's going to have a lot of opportunities because I think the league is finally starting to see the way college has looked at and valued quarterbacks and that ability, in addition to all the things that he can do throwing downfield, going to make him a lot of money very, very soon in this process. But, Chiné, this conversation has kind of been about the totality of college sports. We saw the biggest and the brightest lights last night and players go out there and perform. We talked about at Texas the difficulty in trying to stand with and listen to players when the pressure from the outside in this big money-making engine of college sports dictates otherwise. And then we saw what happened yesterday from the NCAA side, because on Monday, while we were all getting ready for the national championship, the NCAA Division I Council decided to table votes that had been scheduled on proposed changes regarding athletes' ability to transfer and to make money off their name, image, and likeness. All this stuff out of fear and conversations around antitrust elements of this, Chiné. It's all just a reminder that while we're all focused on what they want, the big events, the bright lights and all this, the NCAA had an opportunity to actually do something to help out the athletes and their rights and freedoms in this process, and they said, nah, we'll just do that some other time.
I mean, the NCAA has never been proactive. They've always been reactive. And you think at some point they'd take a lesson and start realizing that it's better to get ahead of something and collaborate than just be at the mercy of everything else going on. But I digress, because hopefully that just puts the power in the athletes itself. And that's what the college Bill of Rights, the Student Athletes Bill of Rights, that is being legislated according to the, you know, Supreme Court. And we're waiting on that judgment. But it's funny, Junior, because you say all this, the NCAA has been working on this for 2 years. And they said, oh, we've been working on this for 2 years, but we're just going to wait right now until that Supreme. Why not get to the finish line? And then when something happens, you actually have a full plan. Like, we've addressed this, we can move forward here and there. But no, I feel like they're just hoping for a Hail Mary that doesn't really happen.
They're hoping for someone else to bail them out. Like you said, they're hoping for Congress to come in and bail them out. Like, at least when I procrastinated in college, I was only hurting myself.
Yep.
Like, this wasn't procrastination with the selfish desires to undermine a group of people whose benefits would then somehow take away from our overall bottom line. Like, at least mine was only hurting myself in that spot. But you're right, Janae. It seems like the walls are slowly closing in around them, where they're looking and seeing, all right, they're kind of getting help from all these other places too. They're getting congressional help. They're getting senators going out here and operating on their behalf. And so hopefully someone finally just takes the ball out of their hands and tells them they can go home.
Look, good news. I procrastinated at Stanford too.
It does work. Like,
it works.
I always said I kind of liked the rush of knowing, all right, it's like, Janae, you know what it is? It's the fourth quarter feeling right now. It's all right, tie ball game going into the fourth quarter. I just considered myself a school gamer when it came to those things.
Nuh-uh.
Like, I knew what the library looked like. Only knew what it looked like about 2 days before finals or the night I had a paper due.
Yo, if I told you the way that people studied at Stanford, you would never believe me. I'll tell you in break, and if it's okay, you can tell me if I can say it on air.
I probably know the way it is, and I probably shouldn't talk about it on air. Coming up next.
Hell no.
One man in the spotlight last night is under fire for a decision made in the heat of passion. We'll tell you the absolute no-go when it comes to spending some alone time with your significant other. And we'll do that next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big thanks to everyone who stopped by today on the show. Had a great group. Spencer Hall, great college football writer. Check out the Shutdown Fullcast, the internet's only college football podcast, wherever you get them. Also, Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network. We talked to Brian Windhorst about everything going on in the NBA right now. New COVID rules having to go into effect for the next couple of weeks because of outbreaks and contact tracing issues, stopping some games. Dan Orlovsky of NFL Live fame stopped by with us, talked about how we grade Mac Jones in the middle of that juggernaut Alabama offense going forward. Mac Jones, we're on top of it today.
Okay, Mike.
I cannot believe you. In our collective workhouse right now, just continuing to slander me with white rapper names. It is unbelievable the way that this is going to become a thing.
Yo, Jack Harlow has the bangers, though. You're like Jack Harlow.
I'm so mad because
but like more Jack Har high, like you're higher up.
What? All right, that first off, boo that joke. That was a terrible joke. Second off, I actually like this is the problem is my buddy put me on Jack Harlow a while back, and my brother texts me today and he goes, "Yo, I've been sleeping on Jack Harlow," and I knew as soon as I heard that I was like, "Well, I'm gonna get made fun of again at work." So I love
Jack Harlow.
He's really good.
And if you need another basketball player, professional athlete for a video, I got you. Meg Thee Stallion, too, by the way. I got you, too.
Oh, my God. And you know what? Thank you to Stephen A. Smith for stopping by and classing up the joint for us right now. Check out Stephen A.'s World on ESPN Plus right now. He thankfully was able to save us from ourselves for a while. And as you predicted, Janae, off the top of the show, he came in and had some strong words for Kyrie Irving, and he said he's setting a bad example and could potentially derail the Nets' entire season. So pretty casual.
Oh, yeah, super chill. But he did it from, like, a nice tone, you know? So I was surprised a little bit. I thought he was going to get worked up, but he was like, you know what? The sad thing is so many instances, he's just not surprised at this point.
Not surprised at this point, and he's working, like, five jobs at this point. Stephen A. only has so much voice to go around it. I don't know how he does it. So check that out on ESPN+. Download, subscribe, rate, and review the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get a chance to do that. But the end of the show, it's Tuesday around here. Let's keep that same energy as we go home. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
I don't know why I had to tell you guys it's Tuesday, by the way, either. Like, but you know, like, the amount of times during a week where I forget what day it is and put it a day back is jarring. And so this is a reminder, like, it's not Monday. You're good.
Yeah, that's true. You know what's funny? You used a lot of logic there to tell us it was Tuesday. You know, like another of your favorite musicians.
I'm so sick and tired. You know what? That's fine. I'm going to go after something you love now because Chinea Igumike, our very own, is a big fan of the current Bachelor, Matt James. Current Bachelor for this season right now, the former Wake Forest football product, friend of our friend of the program, Tyler Cameron, who's going to be back picking games with us later this week. We still have to update you guys on our record from that. We'll get to it eventually.
We will.
Matt James last night on The Bachelor, though, drummed up a lot of controversy because, Chinee, there was a kiss last night on The Bachelor, and it was seen from the side that Matt appeared to be kissing with his eyes open. Now, I'm going to ask everyone in the room right now because I think that this is psychotic behavior. I think kissing with your eyes open is the surest sign of pre-criminal behavior and the cops should be called in situations like this. And that if someone is kissing you with their eyes open, they are just waiting for this to be over. And that should be a bad sign. But I want to start with you, Chinee. Kissing with your eyes open, fair or foul? You're really thinking about this one. You're going to set off the silence alarm.
I think it's foul for most instances, but in certain circumstances, it could be fair.
So you're, oh, wow. That is the biggest bunch of bet hedging I have ever seen in my life right now. Do not be fooled by this woman. Cliff, I want to go to you next here. Kissing with your eyes open, fair or foul? Cliff, I need an answer.
Cliff can't
foul.
Foul. Billy, who's with us here today, too. Fair or foul, Billy?
Man, it's fair, man. I mean, I kiss my girl with my eyes open sometimes, like trying to be a little intimate, you know, a little calm.
Yes!
Yo, who is this guy? First of all, you hear his voice, man. Like, yeah, it's fair a little bit. I try to kiss my girl with her eyes open.
Baby, if you're listening, hello. How you doing? You know I love you.
Long distance shout out.
Baby, I love you.
Hold it down.
Okay, let me talk about this because Billy's right. It's good for intimacy in moments, not the whole time. Like, you don't want people to think that you're not blinking at all or something like that where you don't blink, you can't blink. I've been in a situation where I'm like, well, let me open my eyes and make sure I'm believing what I'm seeing. You know what I'm saying? So
again, that just to me says I am not enough in the throes of passion to want to keep going with this kiss, and I'm just waiting for you to give me the signal that we can stop doing this and both get on with our lives. That's what
again,
it seems
we have
like
to ask
me.
Twitter. Hey, we got to ask everyone on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed.
Yeah,
kissing with your eyes open, fair or foul? All because we're talking about The Bachelor. Matt James apparently was kissing with his eyes open, and our friend of the show, right? Like
friend,
clearly.
Friend of the program. Shout out to the folks at Sports Nation right now, too. Trevor Scales, Taylor Twellman, Ashley Brewer, who had this debate, involved me on this debate, and now we get to have it on this platform.
And tell our bosses why we're talking about it, because clearly Tyler C., former Wake Forest quarterback, also was the runner-up on The Bachelorette, so he also, you know, clearly now knows The Bachelor, Matt, you know, James, so there's a connection to sports.
There is always a connection to sports around here, damn it. We've got it, except for this last one. Keeping that same energy, this is just sheer terror. All right, I want everyone to think about the amount of passwords that you have to juggle in your life, the amount you're constantly trying to remember to get into certain things, the amount of times you got to go in and reset your Netflix password because you forget it. How about this? I heard this, saw this on Business Insider today. A German programmer has two chances left to correctly guess his password to his hard drive, or he will lose $220 million of Bitcoin.
Oh, man.
He said he would lay in his bed for hours thinking about one. Go over and try it. And you know you only get a certain amount before you get locked out of normal things, let alone this weird key application that holds $220 million of your Bitcoin.
I will coach you through that situation for a fee. So, like, if you need help getting through that, I will coach you through a fee, okay?
That is a fair point right now. If you are a German programmer looking to get into your passcode right now to try and access the bag, Chinee and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio are willing to help you for a small fee to be negotiated later. We just want to make sure with that one, all right?
Like, and Gold Jr. kisses with his eyes open, ladies. Beware.
No. I tell you what we're not about to do is slander my good kissing
beware.
Name right now.
He does. We are closing eyes open.
We are closing eyes.
I mean, I wouldn't
period.
Know.
Period. End of sentence on this one right now.
Wait, he can't get the forgot your password thing?
No, he can't get it right now. You got to know there's stop signs and not fire hydrants. It's ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinee and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.